Hey, nonprofits, let's raise more money. In today's exclusive webinar discussion, Jason and Trevor talk about how using consignment could go wrong and hurt your event. Let's get right into it.
Hey, let's kick this thing off and get going.
Awesome. Right. Well, we are on location. We're in Arizona together right now for spring break. And so it's really, really fun for us to do this together. Cool topic because it has a lot to do with what we do. But we're seeing a lot of feedback from organizations, friends, clients, and otherwise just about, hey, what do you think about this destination? What do you think about this item? What do you think about this company? And so without getting too opinionated, I mean, we have our own opinions and our own thoughts, but they're rooted in reality and reason. And we want everyone to succeed that we come into contact with or not. So we're going to give you some really cool feedback about consignment items and what to look out for, how the wrong consignment items can hurt your event and upset donors and, you know, not raise as much money as they possibly could and things like that. So we're going to give you some do's and don'ts and just some general feedback. Everyone that's on this webinar has probably had some sort of experience or is contemplating using consignment items. Donated items, of course, are really, really common as well. We can discuss that as well. But that being said, we're gonna go over a few do's and don'ts and some good rules of thumb, things to look out for, things to embrace, and we're here to help. So we have, as mentioned, the Q&A function at the bottom, chat function over here. We've got a great group. So thankful to see the names that we've seen before and new names as well. So really, really grateful for that. We want you to, of course, check out our new podcast, Hey Nonprofits Raise More Money. We're putting out a ton of really, really cool content, some short form. You'll see a lot of webinars on there as well. So another way to access those, but just go anywhere where you listen to your pods, Spotify, Apple, any other platform, and you can find us. We're really excited about that. And we're pumping out some hits. So pretty, pretty fun. But hey, we're going to kick off episode 62 here. And we've got some cool bullet points. And
let's just start one. Oh, state of the end. For those of you that are here live, state of the end and win, we're going to give away a trip that you can use to raise more money. If you're listening to this on a recording, so some things right off the get-go. We're not going to talk about any company specific. Please don't ask us. We're not going to say yes or no. Because there are a lot of great companies out there that do offer consignment, and there's some that are not so great. And but we don't want to get into that. But what we're going to do is tell you some ways that you can filter through that to know. So first and foremost, I think it's really important to think about if you're going to use consignment. Consignment's a really great way to raise money. It's a great way to find things and events that you're not going to get donated. People don't want to buy crap. They don't. They're done. Everybody can have a whole pile of it at your house delivered tomorrow by Amazon. So nobody really wants a bunch of that stuff. Doesn't mean that you can't take the donations, but you can filter through there. But what people do want is experiences, trips, vacations. Everybody goes, wow, we're really trip heavy. Well, that's all anybody wants to do. And this is going on, seeing things that are even, that's all donation. There was a group they put together, there was no consignment in it at all, but they were able to put some really good trips and they did really well. Because nobody wants stuff.
That's a good point.
Because we can go get it. So I think, and I've got some notes because and any questions you guys have, hit us with it. First, anytime somebody says that something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Okay. And what I mean by that is you should always know what you're going to make, period. I know there are some groups out there that do things like, hey, we're going to do the first item at 50%, this, or we're going to donate this, we're going to give you, and then we get 50% of everything else. Kind of one-offs are okay on some of that stuff, and I understand that. But I think you need to be really cautious of any programs like that because you need to know what you make. And let me give you an example of that. So we have an item we sell. It's this place in Costa Rica. It is a phenomenal place. The consignment price is $12,500. It sold for $43,000. And it sold four times. So had we done some program like, hey, we're going to split this with you, then, the nonprofit really would have lost out on all those donated dollars from their donors. And so I really think that that's just not, it doesn't feel right. You can't plan what you're going to, you know, how much money you're going to make. We always say, you know, you plan how much money you want to make and then back into it. So if you're doing that, and consignment should always make you, in live auction, you should make between 50 and 100% minimum. So in other words, if the item costs $2,000, it should at least sell for $3,000, but really should be at $4,000. And that's where the sweet spot is, where you're making 100% of your money. That's what we do. All of our stuff, everything that you do in from HJ Fundraising, we want you to make 100% on it. Absolutely. Yeah. And your donor's going to feel great about it. They're going to, you know, everybody's going to feel good. They got a great value. They're going to get a great trip. That, you know, everybody wins in that scenario. We've seen some instances where a consignment company put out there and they were like starting, you know, the minimum bid was $3,000 and they were putting it out there at, you know, $3,100. Mm. So don't do, you know, we just, anytime stuff like that, we want you to make money, and that should be their primary reason, is you should be able to make money with all their stuff.
The math should be easy as well, speaking to that. Yeah. The math should not be confusing. The model where, like Jason said, there's organizations out there, and we keep on getting questions about this, where mm-hmm. we sell the first one and then we get 50% of the proceeds of the second one, the third and fourth one are mm-hmm. different. If the math is confusing, like, listen, I'm sure everyone's great at arithmetic, but you shouldn't have to get out your calculator. No. You should know exactly where you stand and you should know exactly what you're going to make and what you do make. And that's the whole point. It shouldn't be confusing. Well, it's confusing. Annoying when it is.
It's confusing for if you're setting up an event, it's confusing for the auctioneer.
100%.
Because, you know, if your auctioneer gets up there and you say, look, this is a consignment. Well, we have to bring $2,000 and we split everything above that. What does that mean?
It should be easier.
It just should be very, very simple. So that's one. Just to have a flatter amount. I'm not going to talk about a specific organization, but I'm going to tell you a model that's out there. And I'm going to give you an example of how this is not a good model. And I would not ever recommend doing something like this, where an organization called themselves a nonprofit. They said, hey, we're in the nonprofit business. We're a nonprofit.
You're a nonprofit. I'm a nonprofit.
We're all on the same page. And we're going to come and sell these items at your event. And then we're going to make a donation to you. This organization, an event that I was at, they sold 11 items for $95,000, $96,000. And when it was all said and done, they wrote a check for $5,000 to the nonprofit.
That they were there to support.
That they're there to support.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I know this stuff. We're in this business. We know what this stuff costs. So 11 items, you think about average of $8,000. They made about $40,000 and they gave the nonprofit $5,000.
Yeah.
It is a bad model. I'm not saying they do that all the time, but I'm just suggesting something like that. Steer clear. You need to know exactly what your price, what the minimum is, mm-hmm. and you need to know what you make on every item. If it goes through, because it's your donor, not my, and there should be no issue about getting price.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask those things. Yeah. That sounds really mundane, but it's totally true. And we get folks that ask us all the time. I mean, we have our pricing is very, I'm just using us as an example, of course, sorry with the wee stuff, but our pricing is very, very front and center. You can see it just by clicking a page on our website. But people ask us all the time, hey, how much is this? And we have to be upfront and we have to tell them this is it. And everything beyond that you keep. So it's a really cool scenario and really easy math. That's the thing. We want to make it as simple as possible to use and raise money. Because that's the whole idea, back to the original point that Jason was making, is that these are cool experiences. And they need to be at events because, you know, they're fun and you can't get them donated sometimes. But once again, that's besides the point, knowing exactly what it costs, knowing exactly what you can make. Don't be afraid to ask those questions. And don't be afraid to be investigative. You know, when you come across an organization like the one that we're alluding to that remains nameless, don't be afraid to just get right in the weeds, so to speak, if you ever get confronted by them, and ask hard questions. It's really okay, because you don't want to end up leaving a bunch of money on the table and having a sour taste in your mouth post-event when everything's over, then you can't go back. You know what I mean? Yeah. The organization that you know, Jason just did the example with, you know, they're not going back and getting any more of that money, but they're entitled to it if you ask me, right? So, and that was the point of using those items, was to raise as much money as possible. So,
yeah, and it's kind of like a pricing. When somebody says, you should know the instant that you say, I want to use this product, you should be able to get the price. Now, not everybody lists their price online like we do. And that's okay, because there's experiences that change. You know,
totally.
If you've got somebody that's doing something like, for example, and this is a fun trip. We know an organization does. They do a great job.
Like the CMA or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The Country Music Awards, they do a phenomenal job. It's a great trip. But you've got to talk to them, because they only have so many. Once they're sold out, they're sold out. They're going to reserve, and they will absolutely give you the price right whenever you consign it. And you know, and that's the way that they operate. But you're going to get a great product. You know, it's going to sell well. We don't do those kind of things, because that just doesn't. That's not our. Doesn't fit our program.
I was just going to interrupt and say that if anyone out there has an idea or an inclination to use an item that we don't have, for instance, I know this is kind of out of nowhere, but it's a good disclaimer. We don't do the CMAs. We don't do concerts and things like that, but they're really cool. You know, we don't do the Super Bowl. But if you have questions about where to find those types of items,
we can help.
We are good resources, and we'd be happy to point you in the direction of organizations, companies that we trust, that we would do business with ourselves, and have actually and work with for some time. So we have a lot of resources in that area. Not pushing our agenda, but there's just stuff that we don't have that we think would work at your event. And if you have questions, let us know, because we're always available for that kind of stuff, and we'll shoot you straight.
And we work really well with other people. I mean, 100%. We have people all the time call and say, hey, we're using this company and they've got this. And, hey, great.
Well, that's, we're adults.
Adults
about it.
That's where this is. Delivery, I think, is really important. I think your donor experience of what they're going to do is also, I think it's okay to ask that question. Ask. You know, for like we reach out to the donors immediately, just because we want them to know, hey, here it is. Here's the information. This is what it's going to take. And to do that, are we perfect? No, we're not. There's too many. I mean, and there is nobody that's going to be perfect and absolutely 100%. But then, you know, that extra mile, to go the extra mile to make sure that they get delivered, make sure that they get taken care of, that they've got a place to go for answers to get that. That's really important. And so you want to know what that process is. The other thing I would say is real quick is expiration and the terms.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's really important to look at the term sheet to see what it is, because like we give 24 months to take a trip and to book the trip. We've actually extended everybody for over a year. So anybody that bought something in 2019, that was in 2020 when everything shut down, we've got those people still booking. And so you want to make sure that, you know, and there are some limitations. I mean, you know, there is a point where there is a cutoff where you can't provide the trip anymore, but you want to just know those things up front. If somebody says, yeah, you've got 6 months to book your trip or something like that, you need to make sure that your donors know that
and disclose
all that information, because you really don't want them to have that heartburn coming back.
Is it too good to be true?
Well, I wanted to do a couple things.
Oh, delivery is good.
Yeah.
That's also for like hard items too.
Yeah.
Understanding like hard items, like tangible items, like maybe a signed football by Tom Brady. We have a friend in the industry that does a lot of that kind of stuff, and he's authentic and all those things. You want to understand, you know, of course, return policy, shipping policy, delivery, as Jason mentioned, as a title, super, super important. Know those things. I know there's some minutia involved if you have an event with 50 items, but understanding that, I think, will end up mitigating any problems that you have or any problems that your donors are going to have, which is a reflection on you moving forward if there's a purchase. So that's really, really huge.
You know, since you're talking about hard goods and stuff like that, I think this is kind of a sensitive thing, and I don't think this gets brought up enough. In this world of nonprofit, there are a lot of, I think you just have to be really cautious.
Like bad actors.
Yeah, I just say bad actors. And sometimes I think some of them know and some of them don't know. Mm-hmm. But like we're talking about things like he mentioned the Tom Brady signature signed anything.
That's a good point, actually.
Here's, here's the example of what I'm going to.
Yeah.
If somebody comes and says, hey, we've got a Patriots helmet and it's $1,000 and Tom Brady has signed it.
That's not
real. It's a fake.
Yeah. For example.
His signature's $2,250 for him alone.
And there's only so many of them out there.
There's a lot of scare. You just need to be really cautious of that. Make sure that everything's third party verified. You know, because just that stuff that's signed and
those are problems.
If it's too cheap, be really cautious about it. You know, there's, which is kind of where I was going to say is cheap trips aren't good and good trips aren't cheap. That's just what, that's one thing. And so be cautious about anything that's a memorabilia, signs, signatures, stuff like that, that's got authenticity. Be really cautious about that. Just make sure it's good stuff. We don't deal with any of that. We have some people that we deal with. We know for a fact it's good. So we don't have to think about it, but you just need to be cautious about some of that, those things out there. So
peeling the curtain back a little bit, there are very few of these items that are, well, I guess in the space where we operate, and what we see more often than not, these are experiences that you could probably find, you know, as a retail consumer, at a lot of different events. You can see these, you can get these to these places. You can see these destinations.
Are you talking about destinations now?
Yeah, just destinations and stuff like that.
I'm just using that as an example,
yeah. but I'm talking about like the too good to be true thing or the it's not even real thing. Which will also bleed into like upgrading and things like that, and understanding what an organization might do to your donors to achieve the item as promised. So my point being, that's a great question. My point being, if you see a 5-night stay in Cabo for 6 people and the reserve price is $995, that probably doesn't exist, or there's some strings attached, and you need to understand that. Because what I mean by my preface was, you can't go out as a retail consumer and get 5 nights in Cabo for 6 people for $1,000. It's not really, it's not feasible. So why would it be feasible as a consignment item for a nonprofit to use at your event? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's what's going to happen on that. So I'm going to tell you, this is what happens.
Upgrades.
So somebody goes and buys it and they pay $3,000 or $4,000. Okay. Let's just say that you sold, wow, man, we made a lot of money. They go get $3,000 or $4,000. Then they call the company to go get that system. They say, hey, I've got 6 people. We've got this. Well, that place is really not available. But what you do need to do is pay another $5,000 and we can get you in this villa and all this. And I'm not being specific. I'm just giving you an example.
I saw that.
be really cautious about that stuff. If it seems too good to be true, it is, period. There are some people out there that have this stuff for 7 nights and these things. And hey, we donated 300 trips in 2020. Some of y'all may have received one. We donated 300 trips. It was 6 nights in the Caribbean, hotel only. We paid out of our pocket. For the people, they did have an option to upgrade to all-inclusive. Some people wanted to, but we paid out of our pocket the full boat to put these people in a hotel, okay? And sometimes we paid the cost. I mean, that's just what we did because we wanted to do it. But a lot of these groups, what they're doing is they're trying to upsell and then they make commission from being a travel agent. It just gets a little hard on your donor. It's the experience is hard on your donor is what I'm trying to say.
And there's a lot of stuff, like once again, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that they need to be aware of. We're very familiar with this model. We've seen this model for a long time. And like I said, I saw an item, for instance, that was kind of like, you know, we had a few different thoughts about this episode. And one of the main thoughts before we rolled it out was, I saw six people in Cabo for $995. And I said, well, that's not really possible. So there has to be something to it. So just be aware, because these organizations are going to be reaching out to you and offering an item like that. I'm not saying it's not in, you know, your prerogative to use it, but be really, really well informed and understand what you're offering your donors. Okay. And that's what we just keep, you know, harping on and coming back to, is just being informed, understanding all the numbers, not being afraid to ask. But overarching point, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Hey, I want 2 questions. One, I want to get to the question about that one organization Doug asked. He said, did the provider send them a tax letter? I really don't know. I believe that they did, because I do know that the donor actually paid that organization, not the one that they were at supporting.
It's a
really screwy deal.
Susan had a question about airfare.
I've got a really good example, some thoughts on airfare. We could provide airfare if we wanted to. There's a way we could do it. But the problem is, everybody flies differently. Some people, they only fly American. They only fly Southwest. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, only fly first class, whatever. I've got points and that's how I like to travel. Mm-hmm. They've got all these different ways. If you go and put something with airfare, well, a couple things have happened. One, you've limited yourself to only being able to sell it one time.
It's myopic, yeah.
Okay. So you can only sell that item one time if you combined it. Two, the second thing that happens is now they've got some airfare. And let's just say that, for example, there's I think it's either 800 or 1,000 bucks you can do it, and they'll put, you know, any trip together anytime. But you have to fly their schedule, their way, what it is.
Their class
and they
do the flight.
And yeah. You could literally have a 15-hour day of travel to do that.
That fits those parameters that were laid out. That's very confusing when it comes to terms and stuff. Yeah.
Now, let me give you an example of how, because I think you may be asking something. So let me give you an example. So I had somebody reach out to me, and they have a school, and they said, look, we've got these tickets donated by Southwest. We've got four of them. What are we going to do with it? We want to put this with a trip. Do we do two trips, one for four? And they had a specific number they're wanting to do. And I said, don't auction it off. Mm-hmm. And they had done a silent auction in the past. I said, don't do it. I said, do a golden ticket raffle, but use whatever trip that you want to use with the first pair of tickets. That's your first prize. And then the second prize, you can do a second drawing and just give the other pair of tickets. Mm-hmm. And I said, that way you have two winners, two chances to win out of 100. It's easy. And you raise $10,000.
Everyone understands.
And they that's what they did. So,
I could see that.
Well, the most they'd ever sold the trip before at a silent auction was like $1,300. And I was like, yeah, don't do that.
Sherry brings up a good point about including a gift certificate of some amount helps with that, with absorbing the transportation costs. Sure. I mean, do we recommend it? Not necessarily. It's not wrong, though. This isn't a right or wrong, pass or fail type situation with that. But I've seen a lot of organizations do just that, Sherry, with regards to the certificate. Let me speak to maybe why it's not even necessary and what's happened over the last couple of years as well. Jason's points are all very valid. Before COVID, I always thought that it would be cost prohibitive because we're a lower reserve price offering as far as our consignment items. And I always thought that, you know, adding airfare would take us to a new level of reserve price and it would be cost prohibitive. And I believe that. Now, since COVID, you're layering in so many different things that have taken place in the travel space. Travelers are more persistent that they fly with one particular carrier. Mm-hmm. And then layer in how many flights got canceled over the last 2 years, or how many trips have been canceled on behalf of the destination, the airfare provider, or the traveler themselves, and think about how many points and vouchers and miles folks are sitting on right now as a result. So that's even a bigger reason not to do it, because it just gets in the way of what people already have. It's unnecessary. Sometimes when you already have enough, there's no need to add extra whipped cream to a sundae that already has it. You know what I mean? So many people are sitting on those kinds of assets with regard to airfare. And then, you know, secondarily, you're typecasting folks into a very, very, very specific way to travel if you include airfare. So be aware of that. Like Jason said, it could end up being a, you know, red eye, 15-hour, 8-hour layover nightmare, especially if you're traveling internationally. It's better for the donor to seek out their own travel or to have the organization, let's say you're working with us. Well, our concierge team is going to find airfare that suits the needs of the donor. And we're licensed travel agents that we do on a regular basis with all of our clients anyway, well, with regard to airfare.
Here's a great example. So I know somebody they bought a trip that was included with another provider, had nothing to do with us. And they bought a trip. They had a great time, but they wanted to upgrade their airfare because they didn't want to travel 8 hours in coach. They wanted to get first class, and they had all kinds of points. And it was really difficult to get that done. And so they were having a really hard time making that happen. And so my point to that is, be thoughtful about what you're going to do. Now, if you get something donated and you want to put airfare with it, I think that's a great idea.
That's cool.
I think that's a great idea. I just don't know that mixing airfare with consignment. There's a lot of pitfalls.
I think of it like a why fix it if it's not broken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I realize that some people want to do that and they, got a little fuzzy here.
Once again, no right or wrong answer. We have our own opinions about it. Happy to share those opinions. If you have a donated item or you're using a different consignment item and you have a few questions regarding whether or not you should put a gift certificate with it or add airfare miles or whatnot, or you get some kind of donation, let us know. We're happy to talk shop with you about it and get to the bottom of what might be the best solution. So we'll make ourselves available for that. Absolutely. Any questions for us? Once again, chat below, Q&A below, chat function over here. And we'll get to the bottom of anything that you're thinking about or anything that you've been approached about or thinking about using, or let's talk destinations. Let's talk about where folks are going, what's hot right now, what's popular and we're seeing it firsthand because folks are traveling, in droves.
I want to go back to, consignment just for a minute, and something that you need to think about. I think this is really important, is capacity.
That's a good point.
We're real specific and very, very, we have very, very defined rules about what we do whenever we put something out there and put something together to make sure that we can have capacity to always fulfill it. And so you've got to be really cautious, because if you do have somebody who has something, and I don't have any specific examples, but let's say that they have a condo. I mean, we're actually out in Arizona. One of the things that we're doing is we're looking to put together some programs for,
like a home.
For a Phoenix, for Phoenix Scottsdale golf experience. We're putting that together. But our biggest concern is capacity, because we don't want to go and sell it and all of a sudden we can't get you booked. Okay. You can't get your donors booked. So we're very, very, cautious about that. Anything that we book, anything, we know we can get it booked. We know we can get it accommodated. We can get it done. And you want to be very, very careful that you don't wind up getting your donors pigeonholed where there's like 1 week out of the month that they can go, unless it was defined that way.
Sure.
If it was said it's third week of September is when this is going to be available, and that's when you buy it, great. But if it's anything else, you know, with consignment.
Well, the private home or the, you know, that what's touted as a private home, let's say by a consignment company or something like that. Well, if there's only one, you do the math. It can only be booked 50 times a year, give or take, right? Obviously. So,
well, and then, you know, that part of that's going to be blacked out, because a lot of times the certain holidays, Christmas, New Year's is
blacked out. We've seen this for a long time, and it's pretty discouraging, because, you know, if it's being offered at your event, it's being offered at other events more than likely, unfortunately. So you have to be very, very, very aware. Ask those questions. They're not tough questions. Ask the folks, and find out the fine print, if you will, because if you have one home, there's only so many days on the calendar that it can be booked typically. Right. And then you pepper in expiration and whatnot. So you don't want to close the doors on your donors, and you definitely want to be informed.
Hey, I want to change directions. I want to go back to things that can cost you money and things that can really hurt you. And this is going to be probably different than what y'all are thinking about. But what I've seen and we see all the time is where this happens is not having the right event consigned for your donors to buy. What I mean, let me give you an example of what that means. A real simple rule of thumb is if you've had past auctions, go look at the most expensive item you've ever sold. And let's just say it was $6,000. Okay. That tells me that you have 6,000, maybe a little more, maybe a little, but that's kind of where your deal is. And I find out what it was. Well, you know, let's talk about what the item was. How many of those people, you know, how many people in your buying, your donors can buy that, can make that kind of bid. So then I'm going to say, okay, so if we keep stuff that's going to sell, should sell in that $5,000 to $7,000 range, you take that number, divide it in half, and that's where your consignment cost is. So for example, you have a trip and you say, you know what, we know we can sell stuff for $6,000. So that means if we're making 100% on our money, okay. And I like to be conservative. I always want to, you know, think about the worst case scenario. So I shrink that down a little bit, not on the item, but just what our return is going to be, and say, okay, that means if that's it, I can have something that is going to cost, the consignment cost is $2,500 to $3,000, maybe $3,500 in that range. Yeah. That's how you know. And let me give you a couple of examples. I've seen it where nonprofits will call us and they'll say, look, we can't, you know, our budget, we can only have something for $1,000. Well, how much money are you wanting to raise? Because we've got something for $1,000, but how much money? Well, we need to raise, you know, $25,000. You're probably not going to get it done. And then the funny thing is about that is that item that's going to be in that $2,000 to $3,000 range, you know, to sell $1,500 to $2,500. The people that have all the capacity to buy stuff aren't going to bid on it because they don't want it. They just won't. people that have capacity to pay $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, they don't want the discount bargain bin trips. I'm just telling you, they don't. And if they do buy it, their expectation is very, very high for what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and give them what they want. And I've seen this many times where all the money people didn't pay. They're like, nobody bid. Well, there wasn't anything they wanted. You know, they're not, they don't want to do that. But do they want a villa in Tuscany? Yes.
Sure.
Do they want a villa in Costa Rica? Sure. Yeah, that's something that trips their trigger. Do they want a private tour with a trip to Napa? Yeah, that's something cool. Do they want to go to the CMAs? Absolutely. Those are kind of things that they're going to want, but something at the low end. So just think about that. A great rule of thumb, most money that you've ever had for an item, back that down by 50%. And that's kind of where you want to start looking at it, because it's about how much money you want to make.
Yeah.
And if you think, well, okay, if I sell that twice, and you should always be able to sell it twice, you're going to make $5,000 on that one item.
Yeah.
So $2,500 consignment price, it brings $5,000. You sell it twice, you're net out $5,000.
Jason coined the phrase, remember the math. So always go back to that. The details and the data from previous events can be a roadmap for you. Jason made a great point about not, you know, having that low, low, low cost item in your event. If you have the capacity or the giving units in the room that can spend money on a higher end item, understand that. I think also, because we've said this before, don't listen to folks necessarily that are, you know, downtrodden about certain destinations, or listen to committee members or board members say, oh no, we just can't have that this year because, you know, why not? Why not? You've done it in the past. Mm-hmm. So don't ignore those facts. Don't ignore the data, because if the data is there, then you can substantiate that with the right items, donated, consigned or not. And you can make, and you can raise a lot of money doing that. So,
and I would just say this year, especially, this is the year to stretch.
Yeah.
This is the year.
Be creative.
We're seeing people spend money on stuff that just is. And I understand there's a lot of things in the economy. We're hearing all this stuff about, you know, with inflation and everything. The top 5% or top 10% are the ones that are coming to buy your to your events that are your donors. They're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just telling you, they're doing okay.
Yeah, there's capacity.
And we're seeing them give in record amounts. I mean, we get the reports on most everything that we offer, and it is doing really well. And I'm sorry,
Susan.
Yeah, you talked about people want VIP.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah,
I mean, the four things that people want over and over and over again that they want: domestic destination, international destination, beach destination, and once in a lifetime experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. You just got to come up with and say, you know what? What's something to do? I do believe that having something fairly exotic is okay, mm-hmm. but be cautious about it. What I mean by that is, how many people in your room are going to buy that?
Sure.
So if if you've got a free skydiving trip and you think, man, this will do really good on the lot, how many people really want to jump out of an airplane?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
There's some price it will sell at, but at some point there's going to be, you know, people aren't really, the mass audience isn't going to want to do that.
Susan brings up a good point about people wanting a VIP experience. Becky also concurs. You know, and they want something special. Absolutely. They want something special that can be advertised that way. They want something special where they're in VIP, where they're treated that way. And they want it when they arrive. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like an overarching point of what we're discussing with the right consignment companies and the right items and what to be aware of are all of those things. And another point, they don't want to be surprised with anything hidden. You know, that kind of tarnishes the whole VIP experience as well. Right. If there's anything unforeseen or anything last minute that they weren't aware of or whatnot. So make folks very, very aware of that and be aware of that yourself, because it can solve a lot of problems before they'll be non-existent in that case. So people want it top to bottom. Donors do expect a lot when they spend that kind of money. When they spend that kind of money on items, they do expect a lot. We're very, very familiar with expectations.
And we know, because we have to fulfill them.
We do it. Yeah. Hundreds of times, hundreds and hundreds of times a month, we're doing the exact same thing. And working with wants and needs and expectations. And so we're preaching that you're aware of that, you know, on behalf of your donors. And I think it's a really, really great practice.
I think this is something really important, because we see this happen a lot. you're going to come across a point, and this is something that happens to us. You know, we have a donor who paid a premium for something. Okay, they did. They pay a premium. Somewhere along the line, their expectations not being met. They go back, go to the organization. The organization calls us and says, hey, what's going on? You know, we are going to do everything we possibly can to make sure and ensure that that donor, your donor, is going to have the very best experience. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're not perfect, but we try to be. Okay. We really, really do. And we're, even if some, there's a miscommunication or something with any reputable company out there, I don't care who it is.
They're going to do that.
That's exactly what they're going to do. If somebody starts slicing and dicing their term sheet up for you. Now that doesn't mean if somebody, you know, bought something and it's four nights and they're demanding, they said, I want seven, or, you know, we've had people call up and go, this trip had airfare. I was told it had airfare. We don't sell airfare at all. So we know it wasn't anything. And, you know, that's different, but I'm talking about where they start slicing and dicing and saying, well, this, that, and the other, that's not what you're looking for. You know, pretty much what we know, what our clients want to, what they, it's like, I got this. Mm-hmm. And any reputable company out there, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. I think it's funny because we've had this conversation before. I don't even know if we've ever said it on air though, is this is not an advertisement for consignment companies, but they exist. We're not going anywhere. We do a great job. Mm-hmm. And we know some other companies that do a great job as well. If the only companies that we appreciate and want to continue working with and want to push forward with are the companies that will do exactly that, bend over backwards. Because if there's a company there, if there are some companies out there that have gone out of business, for instance, or whatnot, it's actually a knock on all of us. It makes us all look bad, as a matter of fact. And it makes people really, really think twice about even using consignment items. So be very, very, just be careful. And once again, don't be afraid to ask that question. You know, what is your company willing to do for our donors? Our donors are our lifeblood. They're the ones that are pushing our mission. And we're sensitive to that. We really understand. Jason mentioned something earlier. Now, we should degrade other companies if they don't do it our way. But for instance, you know, asking what the donor experience is going to be like. You know, we made up our mind years ago that we were going to reach out to the winners of these travel items immediately post event without even being compensated. As a matter of fact, those are actually, I'm peeling the curtain back. That's a very, very rare occurrence in our space. There are a lot of companies that need to be compensated or want to be compensated before they'll even reach out to your donors. We identified years ago that the one of our greatest strengths was to reach out to donors immediately post event with a warm hello, a congratulations, a copy of what they bought, making our hospitality team accessible for questions, booking right away, all of those things. We did that for a number of reasons. We feel like it's the right thing to do. We put ourselves in the shoes of the donors because we bought items at events before, similar. And also, it mitigates the donors coming back to you and asking you a myriad of questions about the $4,000, $3,000, $8,000 item that they just bought, going, hey, what did I buy? Where is it? You know, how do I get? And they don't need to know all those inner workings about money exchanging hands and all that good stuff. But it's a really, really, really good question. I'm only saying that because we've been asked it so many times. It's something that we're proud of. I'm not saying that another company that if they do it differently, that they're bad and that you shouldn't work with them. But I think it's a really, really fair question to ask. And it clears a lot of confusion. And you have to know these things regardless of the item. You have to know about delivery. You have to know about what the donor experience is going to be like. I think that's huge.
And we get asked these questions all the time. They go, yeah,
almost every
day.
How
long have you been doing this?
Almost every day.
You know, yeah. How do you know, our of course, we make it where we literally, we get on the phone with a donor, with an organization to make sure things are taken care of personally.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to just keep those things in mind.
Yeah.
You know, access is everybody. Like I said, there's going to be something's going to happen, some issue, some deal where somebody's got to rebook. We're in a crazy deal about rebooking stuff.
Totally.
We make it really easy.
We're rebooking things from 2019 and 2020.
Yeah. I kind of put a frowny face. It's fine. I mean, we're good at it. We take care of business and we get it done, but it's just one of those things that, having the capacity to do all that, because, you know, for us, I mean, we're like I mentioned it earlier about being able to deliver. We're really sensitive to that. and I don't mean this in any kind of way, but very, I say this very humbly. We've been able to sell a lot of trips. We do sell a lot of trips, but we deliver. And it is something that we take very, very, very serious. And everybody that we do business with in this world that does this, it's been doing it, they do too. Mm-hmm. So if there's somebody a little bit on the edge and you're really not sure, you might need to talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
And if you ever have something that we don't offer, we're happy to refer you out to some companies, yeah. some great people who do.
We'll
some
advocate
really cool
for
stuff.
You.
Absolutely.
Happy to do it. We want you to succeed. It has nothing to do with our items or what have you. Obviously we're very pro consignment, but at the end of the day, we want to help. Okay. Oh, Lisa.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank okay, you. Right on. Okay.
Hey,
yeah, well, we do it. We live it.
So we've got about 19 good. Minutes left because we always finish on the hour. Number
well,
62.
We're on vacation.
Yeah,
maybe so 17 minutes
yeah, we
so
might,
we can get
we
back to vacation.
Early.
But kidding. But we'd stay on as long as we need to. But any, we have another question here, maybe possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. Doug says, oh, maybe it's not a question. I woke Trevor up on a Sunday morning when a traveler could not figure out their the transfers to Mexico. I don't remember that, Doug. I removed that from my mind, from my dossier. It's gone now forever, but no, I'm kidding. No, I appreciate that. Hey, you know what? That's funny because Jason just, I'm very proud. He said it with humility, as he mentioned. We're very proud of that. It's something that, I mean, that's our job. That's the cool thing about it is, you know what I mean? I love my job. Jason loves his job. We love doing it together.
And we've got a really good team.
That's our strength. And I said that our strength, when we realize our strength and our muscle is taking care of the donor immediately. You know what I mean? And that's a good question. Doug and I have a personal relationship. Doug asked, hey, can I contact you if anyone has any questions? You know what I mean? Or they can't read the full length of the email or whatever. It needs to be. Of course, ask those questions. There's not a consignment company out there probably that's too big to have a point of contact for you that can get things done for you on a Sunday morning when someone's traveling internationally, maybe they never have before. We've seen all walks with people taking their honeymoons and their first trip to Mexico or they're going to propose to their future, you know, bride or whatnot. We've seen all walks and it's really, really cool. But we want to take the pressure off. You know, and we know that if we hit it out of the park for the donors or any company for that matter, if they hit it out of the park for the donors, for the guests, then obviously you're going to be happy. Right. And you'll come back.
Oh, yeah. And you come
and
back.
We'll continue to work. That's the easiest thing for us to realize, you know, back when we started doing it. And it's still true to this day. And yeah. And but yeah, to the point, Doug, I appreciate that. Lisa, I appreciate that as well. Immensely. You both mean a lot to us. And yeah, we are always available. We're always plugged in. And we pride ourselves on it. I think it's really, really fun. It's cool to operate a business like that and to have that kind of connection with folks. And at the same time, I mean, you're not always going to talk to the owners of the company or what have you. That's not realistic in a lot of scenarios. But we want what's best. We want to make people happy. You know, I think it's kind of fun.
Do you recommend asking the consignment company if they have another trip available to purchase in case you get
too high bidders?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. No, I think it's a question you should ask.
Everything that we do, you can sell multiple on.
Yeah.
Every consignment company that is reputable out there, they're going to tell you exactly how many, and they're going to say you can sell this. There's a company specifically that I know. They do in some high, like we were talking about CMAs, mm-hmm. Some
availability, something you should be aware
really
of.
Really exclusive kind of experiences that are kind of high, what we call high touch and limited. Where they'll come up and they'll get these tickets and they'll get certain things and they put these really cool experiences together. They're really good. And they'll tell you, you can sell two of these. You can sell three of these. Mm-hmm. You can sell, you know, for us, we're say sell 100 of them.
Yeah, do it all day.
You know, we have the availability on most everything that we do and but we'll tell you if it's something that we have limited capacity to do on some of our higher end premium items, we'll tell you.
Have that conversation though. I think that's on a macro level, Margaret, you bring up a really, really cool point that I don't, because we're constantly preaching this to folks. Not because we have an agenda, but because you'll raise more money. Sell the items as many times as you can if it's feasible. With our items, we typically see them. We never see items typically sold once, especially in a live auction. It's typically six, eight. It can be 20 times, what have you. Mm-hmm. It depends, of course, on the event and the auction, the auction person, MC, whoever. You bring up a really interesting point about silent auction items if they're consigned. And with the advent of mobile bidding, I think that it's something that's probably underappreciated and underutilized is selling a silent auction item, if it's consigned and you can, more than once to the backup bidders at the winning bid amount. So the winner,
I was going to say, you can do either one. So yeah. Here's an example.
Yeah.
You said you've got a high bidder. They paid, let's just use an example, silent auction high end, it was $10,000.
Yep.
The backup buyer was $99,990. Yeah, well, let's just say it was $97.50.
Sure.
Okay. You go to the backup bidder and say, hey, Trevor, you know, hey, you want the backup? We've got another one. Are you still good at $97.50? And we'll sell it to you. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, yeah, I'm good. Done.
Both of them paid $97.50.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, even if the first person paid $10,000, the other person paid $97.50.
Sure.
That's up to you, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. But
at the last bid, you can sell it two times. And if you'll pull your list up and go back there and find him and go, hey, Trevor,
yeah,
man, thank you so much for being here. Your bid was $97.50. We've got another one we'd like you to have to do that. And you go, yeah, 100%. Sure.
There could be four bidders
that
were around that $97.50. Sell the item more than once if you can. In the silent auction or online auction, you know, there's buy it now technology. There's all those different options. I think it's once again, with consignment, of course, if it's a lawnmower in your silent auction, you only have one, then so be it. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you have a consigned item and you can sell it 20 times, it's an all-inclusive, the Cabo San Lucas, for instance, and you can sell that as many times as possible. Contact the backup bidders, be proactive. I think there's a shift in a really good way of just awareness that can be done. And it's not because there aren't any rules, we're just being creative and it's all working towards the same goal of raising more money. So you're utilizing a tool.
Yeah.
Consignment items are a tool at the end of the day. They work really, really well, but you're utilizing that tool and really twisting the dial to the max to make as much money as possible.
Well, I want to just touch on that one more time.
I think
something,
it's cool.
Something to think really about. Cool. And you know, we talked about this last week with Amy Myers about details matter. And what I want to suggest to you is this. Well, let's just use that example we were talking about. Let's say it's $10,000 and the consignment price is $5,000. You're making $5,000. Mm-hmm. We want you to make 100%. Mm-hmm. So, or you're making $4,750. That is a $5,000 check somebody just wrote you to your organization. Mm-hmm. It is worth taking the time, mm-hmm. even if Trevor says no, but it's worth it to go make that ask.
Yep.
Plan that in advance. Part of your planning for your consignment for all that stuff is, okay, who's going to be the person to go ask their backup bidders?
And
designate that person. This person, you're going to find somebody that's number one, going to do it.
Yeah.
Find somebody.
Have your checklist.
And that's going to be the person that they're designated to go do that.
Yeah.
Because if you just let it go, we've seen organizations lose $5,000, $10,000, $15,000,
$25,000. That was a check that was there that you did
not catch. Could go get it because they didn't ask.
Yep.
Or when they did go ask, they go, oh my gosh, we made an extra $20,000 and all we did was go and talk to the back.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
and then, okay, I'll take it one step further because this is a deep rabbit hole. Amy will say something like, that was someone that had never been at your event before and you just mm-hmm. identified another major supporter and they could be on your committee next year, for instance. They just got exposed to your mission. Becky has a really good question about, do we offer professional baseball games on consignment?
We don't,
Becky. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you what I've seen work really, really well. And like, we have a dear friend who's been on the webinar many, many times, who's in St. Louis, got donated tickets from the St. Louis Cardinals, for instance. And what I mean by that is I have a lot of experience in Northern California with something called the San Francisco Giants Community Fund. All of these organizations, actually, before I'd actually go out, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but before I'd go out and try to consign baseball tickets, for instance, we're not talking about the Super Bowl. We're not talking about, it could be a once in a lifetime experience for a young person or what have you, but you get my point. These different baseball organizations, we'll just use baseball for an example, have a community fund set up where they will donate tickets to you within reason. And it's very rare that they'll say no. I have not seen it, as a matter of fact. So you just have to be willing to ask. So Becky, I don't know where you're located, but let's just say, you know, you have a baseball team nearby. I would reach out to their front office or their community fund and find out. And they're very, very proactive in helping mm-hmm. the community. That's for
now,
sure.
I'm going to give you a flip side.
Oh, Virginia. Okay, cool. So you call the Nationals?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reach out to the Nationals. Well, I think that's an easy one.
You can reach out, but there are companies that do special things. Like it'll be a specific game. Like there was a deal where they had a specific deal to go to the Field of Dreams.
Sure.
Oh, so if you don't know what it is, it was Yankees, Boston,
Iowa.
It was in Iowa, in the cornfield where they made the movie, Field of Dreams. They played a baseball game. There was very, very limited. And they did that. And
that is cool.
Phenomenal once in a lifetime experience. There are some things that you can do where you can go to Yankee Stadium. You get to go in the box. You get to meet a Yankee great. And they have this really cool program, stuff like that. Those are things that are going to be, you know, broad based. Here's another idea in the baseball world, just to say, because we bought this one time for a birthday party, is sometimes if you've got a boy, you sell it. It depends on kind of where your age, especially at school, to be the ball boy of one of the local universities.
Oh, that's fun.
So we did a
ball
deal.
Boy, boy.
Yeah, it was. And they did it here in Bedlam. It was OU, OSU. And our son, who's now 18, but when he was like 10, he got to go be the bat boy for one of the teams. It was a very cool experience.
Yep. Your universities are willing to help too.
Yeah.
Long story
so
short.
Those are all things that
they all typically have their own.
As you're dialing for dollars and looking for things to get consigned,
get creative.
Because you can, you know, there's connections there. So you can do some fun stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for them to do usually.
Super fun. Yeah. So there's, no problem, Becky. That's, we can riff all day long about the different options. So it really depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if you're looking for the luxury box where it's 12 people and it's catered and yada, yada, yada. We're talking about a different story.
How much money do you want to
buy? Always remember the math. Go back to the math.
If you've got something that's going to be an $8,000 to $10,000, like, you know, this was a donated thing, but it was to be a bat boy for Yankee, for the New York Yankees. And they didn't, this was not available anywhere except for back in the day, Mr. Steinbrenner, and he donated it to, oh gosh, I can't even think. It was
an organization. Yeah.
Well, it was for a Bobby Mercer. So the great Bobby Mercer, he used to do a benefit. And so he was from Oklahoma, and I knew him and
super
I know his
cool.
wife. So my point is there's some really cool stuff out there, but if you're talking about bringing $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 for some of these experiences, if you've got it, because it is access, it's back to that whole thing. You can't go buy it anywhere. It's access.
Yeah. I've seen those donated tickets for like a set of four go for $2,000, $2,500 in a live auction or a silent auction. Mm-hmm. People want to go. I saw that in my own hometown, and we're 3 hours from where the Giants play, where I gave you my example about the San Francisco Giants Community Fund. So tons of different options. Get creative. Contact the university. I think that's cool. That makes it'll make a little person's dream come true to do stuff like that. So that's always a fun addition. If we have any other questions, we got a couple more minutes left. Please let us know anything consignment. You probably have a event that you're planning currently, whether it's coming up shortly this spring or in the fall. Maybe you already have consignment items. Maybe you already have some of our items. Maybe you're thinking about it. You're on the fence. You've never used them. We're getting all sorts of questions regularly. And so, let us know. Ask us questions while you got us. Reach out to us via email. We're working while we're here, of course.
Well, not really.
Now you go. Enjoy your, yeah, that's awesome. Well, but that being said, easy to find us at any time, jason@hafundraising.com, trevor@hafundraising.com. Mm-hmm. We've got a whole team that can help as well. And let us know what we can do. So I'm happy to do so.
Yeah.
We'll give it one more minute for any questions or anything. Thank you, Becky. Really, really cool. It was fun information today.
We got a winner.
Yeah.
While y'all were sitting there doing that, I was pecking and typing.
The 60-second winner? 60-second winner.
60-second winner.
Yeah, yeah.
And
6-2, not 60 seconds.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Oh, right on. Thank you.
So Sherry Haber is our
all is right.
Right? Sherry Haber.
Yeah, right on, Sherry.
Sherry, everybody get
ready. Cool.
You want a trip that you're going to be able to take and raise more money for your organization.
Love it.
And we hope you guys are going to tune in next week. So
yeah,
I think that's a wrap on 62. We're going to put it to bed. Hope y'all have a fantastic week. And it's kind of cool for us because this is the first time we've got to do this together. And, you know, but now we're going to go hang out with our wives.
And we will reapply the sunscreen. You can tell that the sun wasn't too kind to us yesterday.
Oh, we have five heads, not four heads.
Yeah, I have had for a long time. anyway, hey, thanks so much. That was really, really fun. Okay, thanks. You have a good weekend too, babe. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Appreciate y'all.
We will,
so much.
Doug. Thank you, brother. talk to you all soon. Please reach out to us at any time, okay? Have a great Thursday.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Group LLC. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.